big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling Essential Prenatal Multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchworth. Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We welcome Hanin Kadar, Friedman Fellow, Washington Institute's Gadol Program on Arab Politics, to ask for interpretations of Iran's predatory state also interfering in elections. Hanin, a very good evening to you. My understanding is that Iran interferes everywhere. In Iraq, it interfered. What does this say to us? What do we learn from this about how Iran is playing the role of predator without weapons, but without the with the election process? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, too. Thank you very much for having me. This is the main question for the region, right? From all the way from Yemen to Iraq to Syria to Lebanon and so on. It's the same question that people in that region ask themselves. How did Iran win, right? With its weapons are not enough. So how did it really translate its military victory to political hegemony and really infiltrated the state institutions when we know that the international community has been setting roots both in Iraq and in Lebanon to a certain extent Syria, but you know, like it's the region. So how did really Iran, with so many less resources, if you want, than the combination of all the international community, win? And I think it's really about their long-term strategy. Iran did not reach this phase in controlling the institutions in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and everywhere just with their military might. It's really about a long-term strategy that started with the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And since that moment, they have been setting roots with a very clear vision and very clear objective. And they have sacrificed a lot in order to get there. And this is their strength, is this determination and long-term vision and plan for the region, and mainly to reach this objective no matter what. The difference between countries and regimes like Iran and governments, democratic countries like the U.S. and Europe, is that it's very difficult to have the same long-term vision with the change of administrations and change of policies and, you know, looking at the region from different priorities and different plans. So this is where Iran waits until the next priority for the West shifts, until the next agenda shifts, until the next administration comes, and they wait and they're patient and they are ready to, you know, look for the gap and jump inside the gap. And this is where Iran actually is best, is filling the gap. In Lebanon, when the Gulf withdrew from Lebanon at one point and their priorities shifted to Yemen, they filled the gap a lot, and Hezbollah won the elections in Lebanon 2018. In Iraq, the focus on ISIS and all the alliance focus on certain areas in Iraq also made Iran fill the gap. Today, Iraq, the elections that happened in Iraq is good news and bad news for Iraq, right? So the good news is that they still have some kind of ally in Muqtada al-Sadr and some of the groups that they can still anyway control the ground through their weapons and militias, but also they still have a very strong foot in the state institutions. In Lebanon, it's different. The fact that their own militias lost 60% of their seats in the parliament this time did really was constituted a kind of a reality check for Iran when it comes to the upcoming elections in Lebanon in 6 months, if they happen. And this is where they realized, yes, Lebanon is not Iraq. There is no Muqtada al-Sadr in Lebanon. The Shia community does not have an alternative. The Shia community will not vote Hezbollah out the way the Iraqi Shia community voted these militias out. But also in Lebanon, there's another challenge presenting itself before the alternative that I'm happy to talk about later. But mainly, it has been filling the gaps that the international community is leaving.
Malcolm?
Why do you see the Russians reportedly disbanding a militia it formed and funded in southern Syria, and the increasing presence of Iran, especially air defense systems in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, as portending for the future? Does this fit into your long-term prognosis that you mentioned about Iran's intentions in the region?
Absolutely. So Iran and Syria and other parts of the region, they are more or less applying the Hezbollah success model of Lebanon. So if you take the Lebanon's Hezbollah success model, it was built and reached this phase after decades of building power on three pillars, which is the weapons, the political allies, Lebanese political allies that are non-Shia, if you want Shia and non-Shia political allies, and the public support, right? The weapons is easy. You know, the Iranians send them weapons. They have the weapons. They use it against their own people to threaten, you know, like the Lebanese, the Iraqis, and the Syrians who are their opponents. But that's pretty straightforward. They don't need time to build that. Political alliances took time. And in Lebanon, they succeeded in controlling the majority because Hezbollah alone cannot really control anything. They only have 2 to 3 ministers in each government. But they need the majority by making alliances inside Lebanon with the Christian Michel Aoun and the Free Patriotic Movement, Jubran Basil, with the Shia Amal Movement and Nabih Birri and others and others and others. So that's their plan. When it comes to the popular support, this is their main work. This is where I come and say they are building roots. Building roots not politically in institutions and militarily, building roots really for Iran. And this is what they're doing in Syria, right? The arms will come when the base is ready. So the weapons in Syria are being installed when the base is ready. How the base gets ready? Through building roots, through social services, jobs, ideological brainwashing, if you want. They've been hiring a lot of young Syrians in all areas that are very critical in Syria, from Deir ez-Zor to Daraa, and kind of buying loyalties of people who they don't have a big Shia community in Syria, so they're working with others. And they're using this route to stay, even if their troops leave tomorrow. Even if, say, you know, like today, Bennett and Putin basically decided that they both want Iran out of Syria. And even if they succeeded to get Iran out of Syria, it doesn't matter anymore because they have their own roots and they have their own bases and their communities who are willing to do whatever they want for them. This is how they function in the region. They don't come in that with boots on the ground. They turn communities to be their agents, antennas, and soldiers. And this is exactly what they're doing in Syria. They're there to stay. And I don't believe that the Russians actually are serious about getting Iran out of Syria. They have sold us this line many, many times. And I'm not sure, I don't think they are serious. But even if they are, I don't think they're going to succeed without the same long-term visionary strategy that really has a lot of determination and effort by the Western states in order to do the same in the region. And that doesn't seem to exist today.
Hanin Gadar is the Friedman Fellow at the Washington Institute's Gadol Program on Arab Politics, Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling Essential Prenatal Multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.